This is part two of a message from Bishop Chuck Jones. Our bishop, we were privileged to be able to minister with him at a little church in Raleigh. It's primarily a Kenyan church. The pastor there is Father Lawrence Bogwa. And the Lord really moved in great ways. A lot of people were baptized in the Holy Spirit and healed. Anyhow, this is part two of the message that Bishop Chuck gave on Sunday morning. Enjoy.
Let's start there. Let's get really practical. What do you have? And she said to him, I have nothing but this little pot of oil. And he says, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go, you and your sons, to all the neighbors around you and collect every empty little pot you can. All that they'll give you. And don't get a few. I mean, get all you can get. And then when you come back, I want you to go and shut the door. Because you see, the Christian life is something that happens from the inside out. So people, it's like rivers of living water that flow out of your innermost being. There's a lot of people who do the show, you know what I'm saying? They put on the show, manipulate people. But true supernatural living is something that comes from the inside out. There's no explanation for it except just God. He said, now get behind closed doors, shut the door, you and your sons, and that little pot of oil that you forgot about, take it out, and then pour into one of those empty vessels, and that empty vessel will be full, and the little pot of oil will still have the same amount in it. And then just keep doing that, and just keep doing that, and just keep doing that, and just keep doing that. And finally they came to a place where the mother said to the son, all right, bring me another empty vessel. And she said, well, we don't have any more. And when that happened, the oil stopped. That was supernatural. That's a miracle. Christian life's a miracle. You see, here's a lady who's desperate, who's bankrupt, who's destitute. Now, I want you to hear this. The scripture says, because we talked about carrying with us, entering in, the reality of expressing, manifesting, advancing the kingdom, and everything about the kingdom is supernatural. You're a kingdom person. You're not governed by the principles of the kingdom of this world. You're governed by the Prince. Jesus said, my life is from above, not from below. There's only one explanation as the Son of Man for the life that I live, and that's heaven and the resources of heaven. There's only one explanation for the life that you live, and that's earth and the resources of earth. So scripture says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. One of the things, and I don't mean this to sound silly, because I've never lived in Africa. And conditions can be very, very hard and harsh. I do know. I've been there enough to know that. But sometimes I get concerned. Because those of us from the West, our mission sometimes seems to be to make Africa more like us. And I understand economically we want to see that happen. We want to see Africa prosper. Money's been so wasted and so corrupted. But you see, I really want to see Americans become a lot more like Africans. You see, one of the things about being poor is you don't have a backup plan. When you grow up in the West, you first immediately think, what can I afford to do to fix this? But the poorest of the poor, whether it's in Africa or other countries that are very poor, God is their only exit. They don't have a backup plan. They can't afford. One time, I was in Morobo, Sudan, and they had been part off and on in civil war for over 50 years. When I got out of the airport, on the tarmac in Yay, you had to be careful because there were 50 caliber shells, empty ones, all over the airport. And if you stepped on them, you'd fall. They were bombed often from the north, and many of them had fled into central Congo and other places, and they had just been coming home for a few years. And there was this village kind of like right below the hill of where Morobo was. There was a Christian-like village, and there were thousands of people there. And the first night we got there, we'd been traveling all day long, like drove 14 hours, then did a little small flight, one of those small planes. And so we get there, and it got late at night. We had eaten our meal. There was no electricity. The first day, they didn't have a generator. And there were other bishops. We were sitting around, and we'd eaten. And then somebody came to me and said, Bishop Kakaini came in to me, and he said, Archbishop, he said, we have two people here who traveled here for like 3 days. And most of it was walking. And one of them was a priest who had AIDS. And the other was a priest's wife, and she had AIDS because he had died of AIDS. And both of them from transfusion. Now, my flesh, and I hate to confess this, but maybe it'll help you to know that I'm just like you. My flesh was, oh my gosh, I'm so tired. Can't we just pray for them tomorrow? You know, they'll be here tomorrow. And the Lord just really convicted me how self-centered that was. And I was tired, but I went out and said, yes, of course, I'll pray for them. So I went and prayed for them. And my faith level was so big, it felt like my prayers just dribbled off of my mouth because I was so tired. So I prayed this little namby-pamby prayer for these two people. And today, that was 10 years ago, they're both totally healed. But you know what God did? The thing about being poor is you're desperate. And you're so utterly dependent. And the poorest of the poor, you can't stop them from getting to something they think is going to make a difference. I don't care about being embarrassed. They're desperate people. But Jesus said, blessed are the poor in spirit. Even if you aren't physically and materially poor, he said, it's really important that you spiritually maintain an attitude of being absolutely desperate and dependent on God. And that's why those people got healed. God honored their desperation. Even in my weakness, God honored their heart. So here you have this woman who's totally desperate and destitute and bankrupt. And here's the thing I want you to hear. It is the prerequisite condition if you're going to live a supernatural life is to have an attitude of being desperate for God. So, Lord, if you don't do this thing in my life, if you don't live this Christian life, if you don't do whatever, it can't happen. Amen?
Amen?
So here's a woman in a condition of total destitution, desperation. And here's this principle. The greatest asset you have that you can offer to God is your total weakness. Is your total weakness. Because in your weakness, His strength is made perfect.
Amen.
We waste our time trying to be strong for God. And as long as you're trying to be strong for God, He can't move in. Holy Spirit can't release His ability. Because we're too busy trying to be strong for Him. He wants to demonstrate His strength through you and me every day. Caring for the kids, doing the job, being a good husband and wife, ministering to people. So here's the question. Elijah looks at her and says, well, what do you have in your house? And her answer was, nothing but this little pot of oil. That's all she had. Now, as you know, oil speaks of the Holy Spirit in Scripture. This is blessed oil. The Holy Spirit is the one who makes Jesus, the risen Christ, alive in us. So if you have the Holy Spirit, you have the imparted, risen life of Jesus. And if Jesus can conquer death, there's not anything you're going to face any day of your life, whether it's a temptation or an opportunity to minister, that Jesus isn't big enough for. So she's got this little pot of oil. Said, I've got nothing but this little pot of oil. And then Elijah tells her what to do. Here's the thing you need to hear. If you're a Christian today, every one of you have that little pot of oil. And if you have that little pot of oil, the Holy Spirit, who makes Jesus alive in you, if you have that little pot of oil, then you already possess what it takes to daily live a supernatural life. But the problem is we ignore that little pot of oil. We ignore the Holy Spirit who lives the life of Jesus through us. Or we forget to draw on that because we're not desperate for Him. But you have to be at a place where you're so tired of failing as a Christian. You're so tired of ministry not being doing anything supernatural happening. You're so tired of being defeated by fear and anger and greed and jealousy and bitterness and unforgiveness. You come to a place where you're so tired of living a defeated life. That's the desperate heart who suddenly discovers, oh yeah, I have a little pot of oil in my spirit called the Holy Spirit. And all I have to do is offer Him empty vessels. And He'll just keep supernaturally filling it. What does it mean to have an empty vessel? and I'm going to shorten this more. Here's the thing. Every time I come to Jesus Christ and say, Lord, whatever words I use, but every moment of every situation, every circumstance, there's a verse in 1 Corinthians 15:57, one of my favorite verses. And it says this, thanks be to God who continually gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ lives in you by the Holy Spirit. That's that little pot of oil in you. And if you've been trying to live the Christian life on your own, then you've been ignoring that source of supernatural living. Or if you've been living in deliberate sin, that little pot of oil can't do you any good. But if you had a place in your life where you've been filled with the Spirit because you're ready to get on with this thing called Christianity in a supernatural way, you're tired of being defeated and you're tired of not living supernaturally, not living victoriously. And you've come to realize, you know, I've always had the ability to live a supernatural life. Jesus Christ is in me by the Spirit of God, a little pot of oil, the Holy Spirit's there. And for everything that I face, and for every temptation, and for every ministry opportunity, in every relationship, whatever thing, every stress, every pressure, because you've discovered now living in America, it brings its own set of pressures and stress, right? The town I live in Alabama, is a small town. I felt like a hick driving a tractor when I came into North Carolina and Charlotte and Raleigh. There's more people in my hotel there than the town I live in. It's weird trying to navigate all these people who are going so fast to get places that mean nothing. Let me just challenge you, I pray. In taking advantage of whatever opportunities America may offer you, don't be strangled by the American dream. Because the American dream doesn't include God. Take advantage of the opportunities, but don't have any blackout plans. May God be, Jesus be your source of happiness, not how much more income you can make. Because money can't make you happy. The fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and gentleness and faithfulness and self-control. So for every temptation, for every ministry opportunity, coming here to minister to you, I don't know most of you, I want it to go well. I want you to enjoy yourself. I want you to be ministered to. But I can't do all that. Only Jesus can. But Jesus is inside of me, that little pot of oil, and I'm able to say, Lord Jesus Christ, thank you for giving me the victory today.
Amen.
I'm admitting I can't. You never said I could, but you can, and you always said you would. You're faithful. And for every temptation, Lord Jesus, thank you for being my victory. For every ministry opportunity, Lord Jesus, thank you for being my victory. When one of my grandkids act up, you know, get on your nerves, Lord Jesus, I receive you as my victory here. Thank you. You know what it says in Colossians 2? The same way you received him, you walk in him. Just by faith. By faith. Because, see, by calling on him, I'm admitting I can't do it myself.
Yes.
But it's got to be a clean, empty vessel. And this is where, can you give me a few more minutes to do this?
Yes.
This is Psalm 68. And this is the thing I learned, and this was the key to the East African Revival. It's basically the message that was preached over and over again. And it was a message, Grace sang that over and over again in the first song about surrendering and, you know, and we want to surrender. We want to give everything. We want to give everything. The gift of repentance. Repentance is all about brokenness and staying surrendered. I pray a lot, God, make me live a repentant life. So that anything that comes up that would be offensive to you, anything that comes up that's not of you, if I've entertained it for 5 seconds, I'll immediately bring it to the foot of the cross in absolute renewed surrender and repentance. Repentance just means to change your mind. That's what the word means. Repentance isn't meant to make you feel terrible. Repentance is giving you an opportunity to have something better. You with me? It says, take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. I love this scripture from Psalm 68. Let's see. Verse 12. No, verse 13. When you lie down among the sheepfolds, and the Hebrew word there is the word ash heap, heap of ashes. You know, ashes always speak about repentance or mourning. It says, when you lie down among the heap of ashes, you are like the wings of a dove covered with silver, and its pinions with glistening gold. When the Almighty scattered the kings there, it was snowing in Zalmon. The word Zalmon means the appearance of his presence. Snow, always remember in Scripture says, even though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. It's about purity, forgiveness, and purity. Here's what I want you to see it says here. When we fall down in surrender, total surrender to God, and we're owning our stuff, not blaming anybody else, but owning our own stuff, or just in repentance daily. Sometimes I'll say, oh God, I can't believe I thought those thoughts again, that I entertained those thoughts of jealousy or envy, you know, or anger at this person or whatever. And like I'm owning it, I'm confessing it. God, I just bring this to you, and I feel like I'm in an ash heap. And the enemy's there accusing me. Oh, I could do that again, you know, yada, yada. But what the Lord sees is something going on. So just put this picture of yourself. You're like on your face, and your life is like this big ash heap because you've sinned. Or maybe this is the first time you fully surrendered. So it's like all these things you're bringing to God. Maybe you've not really walked with the Lord Jesus for a while. Maybe it's been a season, and you've just settled for living a carnal, non-supernatural life and trying to keep it hidden. Now, here's the deal. You can keep it hidden from everybody except at home, because it comes out there, doesn't it? And so you finally get before the Lord, and you lay down before God, and your life is like this ash heap of things that you've done, sins that you've committed. And our tendency is to feel guilty and horrible because we've owned our stuff. The enemy accuses us that God doesn't love us, that we're ugly in his eyes. But he says, when you lie down to ash heap, you are like the wings of a dove covered with silver, its pinions with glistening gold. Dove always speaks to the Holy Spirit, right? And he said, you see yourself in his ashes. He said, but what I see, what I, God, see, I see the Holy Spirit doing a work in you. That because you're repentant, that's a sign that you really do love me. That you really do long to walk with me. And so I see your pinions. I see your the wings of a dove like silver. That's redemption and forgiveness. And I see the pinions, the very tips like gold. That's about the divine life. He said, what I see is not a person who's in an ash heap. What I see is someone who the Holy Spirit's doing a work in them, and beautiful work. And he said, it's there the kings are scattered. It's there your enemies are defeated. It's there you're made pure in God's eyes. It is there his appearance begins to manifest in you. That's saying a lot of fancy stuff to say this. And we could do this for weeks, so I'm doing this in just one little thing, and that is this. My Christian life every day is lived offering him empty vessels for every situation, for every circumstance. Lord Jesus, I can't, but you can. Thanks. I receive you as my victory here, Lord. And he'll do it. He'll just come through and live supernaturally. But Lord, I have to offer you a clean, empty vessel. And so if through the relationship during the day, then some thoughts come to my head, or I lose my patience in traffic, I have to stop. And I have to get that empty vessel. Here's what they used to talk about in the East African Revival. I said, here's what I want you to imagine. This is what they would teach thousands of people. Imagine your life like this little cup. And but it's got stuff in it. Lust, anger, unforgiveness, fear, you know, fear is not believing, not trusting, whatever. He said, what do you do? He said, I want you to see your life like that. I want you to see Jesus standing with two pictures. One of them is a silver picture, which is about redemption, forgiveness. And it's filled with blood, his blood. And he said, now, offer your dirty cup to Jesus. And thank him. He promised, if you confess your sins, I'll be faithful and just to forgive you your sins and to cleanse you, to remove it. Do you know that when you come to him with your sins, he doesn't just forgive you, but he takes it away? He cleanses it? If I spill spaghetti sauce on my white shirt, I just don't get forgiven. Jesus, let's say Lydia bought me a brand new sweater for Christmas. And we were going to eat Italian food. I spill spaghetti. She doesn't just look at me and say, oh, okay, I forgive you. But I can't believe there's a spot on that beautiful sweater. And like for days and days, like going, I forgive you, but I can't believe you ruined that sweater. Well, that's not being free, you know? But instead, she said, I forgive you, and I know how to get that spot out. And then 2 days later, I said, you know that spot? She said, what spot? I said, you know that spot? She said, what spot? There's no spots. It's been removed. You see? And so he pours his blood into that cup and cleanses it. Doesn't just forgive me, but cleanses it. And then this empty vessel, he pours out of this silver, out of the gold vessel, this gold pitcher, the water of the Holy Spirit. He fills me again. But he can't fill. You see, when you come to him and you go, Lord Jesus, thank you, you're my victory here. And Jesus will say something like, the Holy Spirit will say, what about that attitude? He won't fill a dirty vessel. You with me?
Amen.
He won't fill a dirty vessel. But he'll fill every time. Then we can offer the empty vessel. Does it all make sense?
Yeah.
There are some people here who've simply never been filled with the Holy Spirit. He lives in you. You got the little pot of oil in you. You just never let it be poured out into your life. There are others here who never understood how to draw from that little pot of vessel moment by moment. Just letting Jesus Christ live his life through you, thanking him that you're your victory. There are others here who've just given up. And though you're Christians, your little empty vessel is so dirty that it's no longer empty and he can't fill it. Some of you need to get really serious with Jesus and just go fall down before him like in an ash heap. Own your stuff. Confess your things. Knowing that what he sees is not a pile of ashes. He sees something beautiful emerging that's the work of the Holy Spirit. You with me? All right, everybody close your eyes for a second. I said to you earlier, there are like 5 or 6 people, most of them are women, I think, who are suffering from depression. Many years ago, when I gave my life to Jesus, I was suffering from mental illness, clinical mental illness, clinical depression, and clinical anxiety. After 2 years of begging and pleading and trying to live the Christian life, I discovered that Jesus Christ had come to live in. I discovered I had a little pot of oil in my inner man. And I was so desperate, I was ready to offer him in empty vessels so he could live his life through me. And I got healed overnight. Overnight. My chemical stuff is healed. But you got to let go of your stuff. And so I don't want you looking up, but I want to pray for you right now. Because when you walk around that for a while, it becomes a little bit demonic. And so we want to get rid of the demonic. And you want to tell the Lord you're willing to let go of all this stuff. Any kind of resentment or anger that you're holding on to because someone's hurt you or just the pressures of life. Just tell Jesus you want him to heal you. In the name of Jesus, I take authority over every spirit of mental illness, particularly every spirit of depression in this room. I rebuke your presence here, and I command you to release these dear people. And I command you to the feet of Jesus right now. I break the power of every word, curse, spell, hex, or incantation in Jesus' name, and I send you back to your source. In the name of Jesus, I break the power of every word, curse, spell, hex, or incantation, and I send you back to your source. In Jesus' name, I break the power of every word, curse, spell, hex, or incantation, and I send you back to your source. And now, Holy Spirit, come and heal. Make chemistry, brain chemistry, normal. Serotonin, dopamine levels, normal. Endorphins produced at a normal rate. I bind up all the traffic in your mind, the dark traffic of fear and anxiety and worry and anger. I bind it up off of you and I command all the traffic to stop. May you have clear thoughts, holy thoughts, pure thoughts. Lord, in all those places, fill them with your Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus, I just declare and decree freedom over you in the mighty name of Jesus, be healed. Everybody look up. You don't have to raise your hand. Don't embarrass you. But those of you who have been suffering from depression, you just got set free. Now let me just tell you something. When somebody brings you a beautiful little puppy, they give it to you. It's a gift. It's theirs. It's yours. But you got to take care of it or it'll die. So when you get freedom, especially from something like mental illness, you can't entertain anymore. Every time that thought of resentment, that thought of fear, the thought of unforgiveness or anger or bitterness or lust or greed or jealousy or envy, anything that's raised up against the knowledge of God, the moment it comes, just lay it at Jesus' feet and say, thank you for being my victory right now.
Yes.
He's your victory, not a formula. Mm-hmm. Christianity is not something you can memorize. It's a person you experience.
Amen.
Every time. If you had to do it 1,000 times a day, I'm going to tell you something. After a while, the enemy will quit tempting you to draw from Jesus. He'll get tired of tempting you to call on Jesus. And the warfare will begin to settle down. You with me? Now, there's someone here who is either, and again, of course, don't raise your hand, who is, again, either in or about to be involved in an immoral relationship. And I'm just speaking to you because the Lord spoke this to me very clearly. Your very life is at stake. Your very life is at stake and everything that's precious to you. And so he's speaking this through me to you because he loves you so much. And he wants you to form your own little ash heap. He'll see it as beautiful. It's evidence to him that you care, that you want to walk with him. But it's got to stop now. I mean, you can't take one more step. There can't be one more text. Can't be one more email. Can't be one more phone call. Can't be one more rendezvous. Not one. Do you want us to pray for the sick now or wait till afterwards and people can leave as they want to and we can stay and pray for people as long as we need to? That would probably be better for them, wouldn't it? Yeah, what we'll do, we'll do Eucharist, do communion, and then we'll pray for those who need prayer. And for those you need to go, you can go. And once you get prayer, you can go. That way, we're not keeping you here any longer than necessary. But I'll be here until Jesus comes again. That's what it takes to pray for you. Okay? I didn't come here just to preach. And I came here to see what Jesus might do.